This meeting is now being recorded.
It is that we have forgotten what our scriptures say. As long as the practical people knew the ideal before them, and they also were competent to give them some demonstration of that, how to know oneself, to know God. For want of them, the same good old custom corrupts itself, as I put you before. And ever since this paid preaching has started in all regions, have cut. Blind means you blind them both falls in the ditch. I am not quoting you from somewhere else. From the scriptures I am quoting. That are our scriptures. So we are fortunate in the 20th century that we have got scriptures. All masters who came the Passover. So there is hardly now a man to tell us how to write in the body. In all regions you find. They preach out to sing customs, rituals, how to maintain, say prayers, this and that. This is our role to first step. If a man does not remain in any ism, then there will be corruption. So man is a social being, he must remain in some social body. But to remain therein, we should rise above them and see what is the basic teaching of all this. And basic teaching of all this is the same. But I am quoting you. So spirituality is another name of, I may say, is Surya Yoga. What is Surya Yoga, you know? It is just spiritual life consists in peeling off layer by layer the various koshas or sheets, physical, astral, and causal, until its science holds in its pristine splendor. Self-luminosity. God is light. All she is given is full light. Who sees the full light is the Khalsa, is the true Hindu, is the true Mohammedan, is the true Christian. Then you know, I am so. I and my Father are one. Man has taken the same color of the God. In Sanskrit they say, Tattvam Asi. From Ashmi. So, these are the things to be realized. O Nanak, what is say? He is the mouthpiece of God. Such like people, they become the mouthpiece of God. They speak as inspired by God. So, in all say, Guru Nanak says, I do not utter any word except inspired by God. And God is I see man. So Mawla Rum says, God has given order to the prophet. He says, well, look here, I am so great that all this creation, universe is created by are not sufficient to contain me. High heavens, low earth, now also, but strange enough. I contain myself in the heart of a saint. If you want to see, you can go in there, where I am manifest. So these are the things, see, that is given to us by all masters before us. So Christ said, I and my Father are one. All the things are delivered to me of my Father. I am in the Father. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. The words I speak unto you, I speak of not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the work. What more to say? All of the Master said the same thing. I am the mouthpiece of God. I and my Father are one. I simply speak as inspired by God. They are conscious co-worker of the divine plan. They see that power is working. I am not. I am mere mouthpiece. So it is the fundamental law of God that no one can move Godward without the help of his Sadguru, of the Master. This Guru Ram Das says. As Christ said, nobody can go to the Father except through me. So these are no new things, even by one or the other. All Masters say the same thing. Malarum says, who are they such like Masters? They are the godly souls, clothed in human bodies, and come with God's knowledge. They come from unknown places. What to do? To take back souls back to God. Yes. Working like that. You know what Christ would say? I have come to separate daughter from the mother, to separate husband from the wife, sisters from the brothers. I have come not to make world happy, but I have come to take all these back home. When he was going down, Swami Master once went to, did not go to the hills. It was very hot season. And nearly every year he wanted to go to the hill station. I was there and just saw him, well, it is very hot here. Would it not be better you go to the hills as usual? He said, if once people think perhaps I go there to enjoy the cold over there. I simply go to men from all over India come out there. Those you are seeking, they may be led away. So they come. Dinner Christ said, I have yet many sheep to look after. They come to bring back all children of God to home. But, so, he remains ever with you, whether you live or die. Such a man. If you die, he won't leave you. Christ said, I shall never leave thee nor forsake thee till the end of the world. Is it not? Even at the place of reckoning, he shall stand by thy side. So all your accounts are transferred from the Lord of Judgment to the Master, who is God and man. So such a one, it is a great blessing to have a living Master, who will be with you in this earthly life, and also won't leave you when you feel leave this man body. You will be young. Who can do so, only take the hem of such a one. So, when you cross over the star, sun, moon, the luminous form of Master, manifest it to take in charge of the soul and takes it on the higher plane, you see, unless you are born in you, you cannot enter the kingdom. So this is what I mean when I say, you are on probation, you see. Then further by that God in the special written form of the Master within you. So as long as Spirit does not rise above the body consciousness, he remains stranger to the spiritual realm beyond. That is the first step. Where the world's last is end, there the religion starts. And that's in a way the same for all. Whether you wear one form, one level of one religion or the other, that makes no difference. So everything is within the body, nothing without it. He who seeks without wanders in delusion. Those who go to such a Master, they always rather go within you. Our Master, you see, well, why take somebody who goes within and takes you along with you? It is very definite way, inner way. One has been with all masters who came before. So all that we see is great optical illusion. We are identified with the body. You see, body is changing, being of matter. All world around us is changing at the same speed. As you are identified with it, we consider it all stationary. Will everything change? When you rise above us, you see the world in its right perspective. So that is why masters all been advising like that. Well, please know yourself, who you are, what you are. So this is the main subject, main, I mean, purpose of coming into the world. Unless we know ourselves, we cannot know more. So God is world, you see, world is God when came into being, it is called world. World is the cause of all creation. God is nameless when it came into being, into expression, this is God now. So God is, what is God? It is God is love and God is divine, all divine. So master is world made flesh. When such masters come, they come with overflowing with the love of God and divinity of God. They come by radiation to all people at large. Those who sit in the field of action of the radiation, they are blessed. So they come, they bring the religion of love and no new religion. So all masters who have come, they gave up the same thing. Christ said, love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. And love thy neighbor as thyself. This also, you see, Kabir said the same thing. Tenth Guru, while addressing to all communities, tell them, well, hear ye all, I tell you the truth, but those who love, they alone can know God. So by Saint Paul said, by love one, and by love serve one another. One who serves his fellow loves God truly, otherwise not. He says, I love God and does not love those. The God is the special power of working in the world, then how can he say he loves God, whom he has not seen? So he prays best who loves best. You know, because love is one-pointed, single-minded, pointed attention. With whom you love, just a single mind. Nothing else interferes with that. When you're loving God, naturally all other thoughts, foreign thoughts don't affect you. A man who loves somebody, he's sitting maybe hundreds of people, but his whole attention is there, with whom he loves. So such a man while in the world, is in the world yet out of it. He's not of the world. So for that reason, God is love and love is God, and the way back to God is also through love. If God is us in every heart, we are all of the same essence as that of God, then if you want to meet God, what should you do? Should you torment those ones? Whom you want, he also lies there. So love knows service and sacrifice. There are greater heinous crimes in the world, heinous sin, one greater than the other. Mala Rum says, you may drink. Drinking is the mother of all evils. That's a very sick, great sin. Then there's still more greater sin than that. You burn away all scriptures of the world. Of course, that's a very great sin. There is still more, there is a greater sin than that. Burn all places of worship. And if with all these, there's still more greater than sin. Don't torment anybody. So love knows service and sacrifice. God is love. And naturally, when we come to give this religion of love, love knows service, and also need we to sacrifice ourselves for that. Then Guru says, those who want to play the game of love, they should lay their heads on their palms and come forward. Who can sacrifice themselves, they can only meet God. We sacrifice God for the sake of the world. One man went to a sadhu. He prayed, you are here gate, you have denounced the world, you are outside the world, like that. We prayed him very much. And he said, look here, you are the great one who has sacrificed God for the world. And we have sacrificed only world for God. Who is the greater man who has denounced the world? You are. So masters say like that, you see, service. If we love all, naturally, what will happen? Whom we love, we never think of harmony. If hungry, you try to share with him. If he is naked, you would like to give him clothes. Even at the sacrifice of your own self. The more you love him, the more you can make sacrifice. And if you love God, can you not make sacrifice for those in which he resides? So truly speaking, those who say we love God and hate the people all around, then he is a liar. There's a parable to go, to show in the scriptures, or the Puranas of the Hindus. Masters speak sometimes through parables and sometimes straight talk. By parables is given to those who are not very great understanding, but to bring home that all these things they give. Told the Lord Vishnu invited all gods and goddesses as well as those anti-gods for a banquet. Food was served and they are made to sit, gods in their rows and the anti-gods in another row. When the food was served, Lord Vishnu stood up. Look here, gentlemen, all this is food for you. Eat to your heart's content. But one condition is there, you should not bend your elbows to bring the food in your mouth. How can you bring food to your mouth? Anti-gods considered, but they said, Lord Vishnu has played a mockery. They put the food and said, then I'll have us eat. They left the scene. Discussion. The gods were there, they considered that the words coming out of Lord Vishnu must be some meaning behind it, which you do not know. When considering calmly, they came to know why to bend, why to straight up. So they had gone all your bed to be at home. The purpose is, you see, if we want to make us happy, our own self, we must make others happy. Everybody wants to make others happy, naturally everybody is happy. If you won't allow anybody to die of hunger, you won't die of hunger. So love knows salvation, sacrifice. This is what. So best of all, you see, all these holy places of worship, they are putting some symbols of God in them to be worshipped. You see? These are symbols of God. Or in their churches, their temples, their other holy places of worship, they are often made out of model of man body. They put in two symbols of light and sound. God is light and God is music of the spheres, nada. Now those are the models. Whether it's a church or a temple or any other place, they are all equally situated. They are models made out of the man body. And which is the true body? True temple of God, the man body itself. That was given to outside people for the beginners to know that such like sound is such like. Music of the spheres reverberating is new. When the master met, they gave them a demonstration of that, how to rise above body consciousness and open the inner eye to see the light of God, and open the inner ears to hear the voice of God. So God sent man with seals on their eyes and ears. And they come back in the form of manifold, and they go and break the iron. Seals on the eyes, they begin to see, and then they begin to hear. So that is why Christ said, I have come to make those people see who do not see. And those who see, they may be blind. It is attention only which gives all light outside. So truly speaking, you see, one truth is working in all, basic teaching of all. This is our narrow-mindedness for want of the truth, not knowing the truth, that all the differences have been made between man and Brahman, high class and low class. God made equal pleasure to everybody. He did not make any higher law. Born the same way, same soul, or the same essence as that of God. And the same power of God we worship. So they, when they come to say, well, God, whether you call it Maker God, or He is merciful, or this and that, these are all go to such that God power which is controlling all creation, and we worship Him. The man who is living in the true temple of God, which is the man body, he goes to the temples made after the model of man, put in symbols of light in from there. That is for the beginners. But those who already realize this is truth within us, they have respect for other things for the beginners, but it doesn't behove a man in whom that light is equal necessarily. You see, he doesn't already tell them, well, look at this light is within you, you just wake up. So masters, those who are risen above this in body conscience, they see the truth and give out to the people at large. So man should, for that purpose, what is required. For that purpose required ethical life. Life of self-restraint. True living. Our earning should be on it. And our food should be, I mean, pacifying giving, and also character good. So the word religion means apparently to link man with God. That is ultimate of all yoga. And Guru Arjan gives out very clearly, the highest of all religions is what? To be true, a man of true living and no God. No difference what label he is carrying. That is why among the Hindus, the golden temple made, arranged the Amritsar, the headquarters of all Sikhism. You know, foundation stone was laid out by whom? By the Mohammedan saint. When they arrived to that, where is the Hindu or Mohammedan question? The labels don't carry anything. So Guruji, what did he do? He collected as much things of the masters of the past as he could, about 60-70, and put it all in the six scriptures that we respect all, those in whom God manifested and they came to awaken the mankind. So what was the purpose? The whole object was to unite all mankind in the silken bond of love and not create schism. It all one. Now, scriptures of particular masters you find in their own books. But six scriptures you find they were contained about 60, more than 60 saints, facing that, who God knows. So they come to create love within us for God. They are overflowing with the love of God. You might have heard the Moses went to a wilderness. There was one shepherd. He was looking after the sheep over there. He was praying, God, oh God. Love knows no love like that. Oh God, had you been hungry, I would have given the milk of the sheep to you to drink. Had you felt cold, and I would have taken off the wool of the sheep and made of the cloth to give you to warm yourself. And he went on like that. Then Moses passed by that way. He said, oh, heretic, what are you talking? Does God drink milk? And he was others. Quite a back, so why have disrespected God? Then he began to cry. Why crying? He went within himself and God met him. Look here, I will drink your milk also. I will wear your clothes also. And then Moses went to the inner context. He said, oh, Moses, you were sent to those, connect those people who are separated from me, not those who are already linked to you, separated. Go and ask for forgiveness. So such is the way, you see, Master comes to unite all this to within us. And then Guru says, when once this ignorance is dispelled, all distinctions between one religion or the other will drop. We are all children of God. We are having one label or the other, that makes no difference. So my point is, so long as spirit does not rise above body consciousness, he remains stranger to the spiritual world beyond. So out of the two sides, you see, of the outer knowledge, one objective, the other is esoteric side. Objective side only meant for the preparation of the ground. The real thing is to know oneself, to rise above body consciousness, where the ABC starts. Such men, when they go around, they radiate love to all. And even the animals and the snakes don't harm them. So this is the teaching of the Master. This is what is called spirituality. A man be having one label, the other, that makes no difference, you see. His overflowing love for God and for humanity. Master come with divine nature, they give us an idea of beautiful being of God. So such like masters have been coming from time to time in all countries. When they came, they awakened them to the truth of God. By parallel study of all the scriptures you see, they say the same thing. The basic teaching of all admonition. For want of practical people, and excuse me, ever since this paid preaching has started in all religions, ignorance has corrupted. So Master come, all right, you remain your earth, they don't look to your labels that you're carrying, they say, oh man, oh soul, you're all equal in the sight of God, no high, no low. And rise to yourself, to your own God within you. And man body is the golden opportunity that you've got for that. So much of the time is already left. You were sitting here, I think, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old. How far we have succeeded in this spirituality. So spirituality above all, you see. To be born in a temple is good. But while remaining in temples, you will understand the basic teaching is the one for all. Otherwise, if you stick to the watertight compartments of all, that will give you what you say, narrow-mindedness. So Master comes, they are free, they make you free. When you fly in the air, how blessed you feel, you see. All world outside mountains look like small mounds. High buildings look like little huts. So when you rise above God, you see the whole angle of vision is changed. The Master come to give us this in the world, you see, to make the best use of the man body we are in. So blessed you are join some school of thought, that's good, that's the first step. That also demands us to have an ethical life, to be help of others. One Hindus, what they do, you know, they give, you see, when they say certain rituals, they share the something for the animals, something for the birds, something for the reptiles. So blessed you are, you have got the man body, and it is high time to make best use of that. Be spiritual. Remain in it. You may have any label you like. That is meant only to make you spiritual. To know the spirit in you. You are spiritual. You are spirit in God.
Good morning, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The talk you just heard was recorded on the evening of November the 13th, 1972, in San Francisco. A quick reminder to everyone, the anniversary of Master Kripal Singh's physical birth is this Friday, February the 6th. As in the past, we ask all sincere seekers to join together at the same moment for a simultaneous, worldwide, 5 to 60 minute or longer meditation. The amount of time will depend upon where you are at the appointed time. If you're at work, you can excuse yourself for a few minutes. The designated start time for this worldwide meditation this coming Friday is 7 a.m. if you're in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, 6 a.m. for Central Time, 5 a.m. for the Mountain Time Zone, and 4 a.m. for the West Coast, the Pacific Time Zone. The positive inner power generated by Master through our meditation at the same time every year can only result in great blessings, not only for those participating, but for mankind in general, a great gift from the Master. Our reader this morning is Jack Weinstein. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning.
Go ahead whenever you're ready.
This talk was published by Ruhani Satsang. It's entitled, What Have You Become? This talk was given by Sant Kripal Singh Ji at Sawan Ashram, Delhi, and translated from the Hindi by the Satsang Desh staff. It was originally published in the April 1974 issue of Satsang Desh. What Have You Become? When studying the lives of the great masters, what purpose do we find in them? They show us an example, and seeing such an example, we should pattern our lives upon theirs. Ages go by, man hears the same words again and again, but in a practical way, how much have we learned? When a school teacher writes the words on the blackboard, the child copies them carefully, trying to make his letters as beautiful as the teacher's. Eventually, he succeeds. The words of the masters are the recorded examples of those who realize the great love and are all here to realize, and you are all here to realize that same love. How did the masters get this realization? One by one, the accounts and descriptions of their experiences are given out to you, hearing which a deep enthusiasm swells up and a yearning is born within one to become like those masters. Is it not so? There is but one way to achieve this noble aim. Love thy Lord, O mind, love thy Lord. This love is innate in our soul. It is one with our inner true self. For God is love, and the soul is the entity of that love, and so is the very form of that love. Consequently, its nature is to attach itself to something. It should have attached itself to the Supreme Lord, but connected itself instead to the world at large. It is said, wherever one's desire is, there one is. And since we left the Lord's lap, we have not, up to now, returned to it. Had we done so, our entire condition today would be very different. Ages have passed, and today we are still sticking on ourselves the labels of caste, religion, and social status. Furthermore, through those ages, we have at times been leaders or managers in various walks of mankind's society. But where has it led us? We were busy teaching others and learning nothing ourselves. Where is God? Where is he not? All that we can see is his manifestation, and the nearest approach to him. He is in every being, and those who say that they have love for God but do, in fact, hate any of their fellow beings, who are all God's entities, are nothing but liars. In truth, how can anyone love one whom he has never seen? He who has had no connection with God and has never enjoyed the happiness of that cannot love anything so remote. Real love is the only thing which holds any value. Without love, O man, there is no tranquility in this world or the next. If there is no love in the home, there is conflict, simply through the lack of love. In religions, in different sections of the community, among countries one with another, in all phases of life, you will find conflict because love is lacking everywhere. Take just a pinch of love and put it in the household, it will be filled with peace. Put a little love in among a group of workers, and they will start loving one another. Religions and sects can enjoy peace together by incorporating love into their relationships. And the same principle applies to the countries of the world. Love is lacking everywhere. And if there is no happiness here, how can one expect to find it in the beyond? All masters have said that God is love, and the way back to him is also through love. The true purpose behind ritual and custom was to develop love in us. They were designed to do this work. Guru Nanak said very bluntly, "Burn all customs through which the beloved is forgotten." He said also, "O Nanak, that worship is good through which love for the Lord is enhanced. Only that love or worship has any value in which the Lord is remembered. If our love for God increases through meeting one another, it is all right. If not, what is the use?" One master even says that we should throw hundreds of books into the fire if necessary, and should make our heart a garden of flowers of love. What kind of flowers? The words which are being placed before you are flowers from the Lord's garden. The big question is, in what way have you developed? Others may have developed spiritually, but what have you become? Love only gives, it does not take. This is a criterion of love, for love knows no returns. There is another criterion. It knows service, service without show. Further indication of love is to sacrifice oneself in service without any show or ulterior motive, like a living martyr who lives only for the love of God. Now, from where can such love be got? That true love is within us, but it has become bound up with the outer world. Through us, the attention. In attention, there is love. It is the very nature of attention. When expressed toward outer things, this love turns into attachment. But if it withdraws from outside and goes into itself, it becomes whole again. Everything wishes to go toward its natural source, and the source of the soul is God. The flame of a candle rises, even if it is turned upside down, for its source is the sun. We must understand these things, and from where our help will come. When Namdev's family told him to bring a carpenter to repair the balcony, He forgot this errand because he was all day in deep remembrance of the Lord. For 3 or 4 days, the same thing happened. The connections of the heart are serious enough, but when the soul itself becomes connected, the result is overwhelming. So finally, Namdev's people became very annoyed with him for his continued failures to bring a carpenter, and threatened to beat him if he failed again. Namdev gave his solemn vow that he would do his duty the very next day. But when the day dawned, he once again forgot everything in remembering God. Seeing his devotee's plight and the threat hanging over him, God, in his great benevolence, came himself as the carpenter and repaired the balcony. That evening, when Namdev returned home and saw that the balcony had been repaired with such beautiful workmanship, he knew that his beloved had performed the task. The saying states that only a bulbul, a bird with a distinctive call, can understand the language of another bulbul. Only a true lover of God can recognize the Lord's hand at work. And when the people asked him what payment his carpenter expected, that they might also employ him, Namdev told them that his carpenter did not work under those conditions, but rather demanded true love as his wages. Break away from family and all associations, then my carpenter will come. He comes when one withdraws one's attention from all other things. Why should he come just by the summons? Between him and you stand your children, your friends, money, pride, and ego. It does not mean that he does not have love for all his children. That love does come when you have withdrawn your love from all other things. So now please ask yourself, how successful have you been? I do not mean this sighing and nodding as if you are intoxicated with ecstasy or other outer demonstration of show. I mean, what have you become? What is it to realizing the Lord? Just uproot it, the attention, from here and plant it there. Very clearly, both the learned and the unlearned alike can do this work, the work which must be done. It is the very bread and water of life. If there is no gasoline in the tank, how can the motor start? We know that God comes when we really want Him. He comes to the one who has true yearning for the Lord. Ask yourself, do you really desire God? Be honest about it. If the answer truly is yes, then without your calling Him, He will come, for He would like to meet someone who wishes to meet Him. It is a natural inclination that a person likes to have the attention of someone, but if you have no desire for Him, neither will He desire you. Do you understand this? In love, the tongue becomes very gentle. It catches hold of the other person's heart and drags it. A really love-filled glance can even affect a stone. Masters say very revealing things sometimes. Lord Krishna once remarked that he had a pain in his stomach, the cure of which could be effected by the heart of a living person, and he told one of his closest devotees to get such a heart from somewhere, otherwise he would die. The devotee was so concerned he ran at once and began searching from house to house, but no one was willing to cut his heart out and give it. All day he searched and searched until finally at night, exhausted and desperate, he came to the home of a prostitute. When he told her of his mission, she said, "All right, here, take it," and thereupon cut out her heart and handed it to him. At once he ran with the heart to Lord Krishna and sank at his feet. Lord Krishna said, "Oh, you finally found one person who loved me enough to give her heart. But what about yourself?" Are you not a living man with a heart? And are you not supposed to be my closest devotee? You can judge for yourself who was the more devoted of the two, the disciple or the prostitute. Everyone talks about how devoted they are to God, but what about their lives? Where there is love, there is peace, happiness, stillness, and an ever-present attraction toward the Lord, a constant remembrance. What is love anyway? That is love through which remembrance of the beloved goes on without a break. Helplessly, through that attraction, the lover is changed into that very attraction. If for only a short time I forget you, my beloved, it seems like 50 years. In love, the lover and the beloved become one, and in that oneness, all differences are forgotten. This is why God is described as being love itself, and love is God. And he in whom that love is manifested is an overflowing cup of that nectar of life. Such personalities are said to be overflowing cups of the nectar and color of love, in the company of which the yearning is developed. Overflowing cups of intoxication. The intoxication of Nam, O Nanak, inebriates day and night. Through this, radiation can be imbibed, but not by those who love the body and the world. Masters are like huge magnetic mountains, but if the iron is covered with mud, it cannot be dragged. Remove all the mud and it will jump towards the magnet. The pull can work from even thousands of miles. You are all sitting here, but where have you reached? You preach, you demonstrate your great devotion, you act and pose, but how much love have you got? You almost kill yourselves fighting one another. This is not love. In love there is cooperation, and those who really love the Lord will naturally have love for all other beings. Is it not a natural sequence that whoever loves the Father will love his children? It may be possible to love the children without loving him, but not vice versa. Masters give the most valuable advice. O mind, love the Lord. O mind, love the Lord. Also, hear ye all, I tell you the truth. God is realized by one who loves. They who learn how to love realize the Lord. The worldly people waste their time sleeping, but not the lovers of God. Guru Arjan says, sleep does not come to me. How then do such people pass the night? They spend the night in sighing, for to them one single day of separation is like thousands of years. What use are all rituals and customs and outer modes of worship if one does not achieve this condition? A certain poet writes, O mathematician, you have calculated many complicated things, but have you ever calculated the length of one night of separation? One master says, no sleep in the eyes or peace in the body, for he comes not nor writes. O friend, if I do not see my beloved, then how can I live through this dark night? Through the dark night the lover sits awaiting, and if that spark of light appears, it becomes Eid, Muslim holy day, advent of which is determined by the new moon. This light is an indication of his coming. The masters make it possible for those who are blind to see the light of God. Hafiz Sahib describes it as the thief of the heart coming in the darkness with a lighted lamp in his hand. So read, think, and digest all this. How much of your life has been given to your development? If the development is there, then all right. Otherwise, you are not making the best use of your precious time. How many people have had the great blessing of meeting God animate in physical form during their lifetime? No doubt the guru and the disciple are one, like the guru is me and I am the guru. But there is great intoxication in the outer attraction of the guru. Double attraction, in fact. He is a man like us, sympathetic to our suffering, just as a friend. Also, there is the radiation. A friend can be recognized no matter what clothes he wears, and Guru Angad Sahib goes as far as to say, die in the beloved's presence, but cursed is the life without him in this world. I have said before, love knows service and sacrifice. These are ideals being given to you. Love knows giving, giving in service and in sacrifice. What have we done up to now? Farid is not afraid of his youth passing away, as long as love for the beloved does not pass away. For many lives without love have withered away. What is youth? If you eat and drink, you are healthy. What more is youth? We should be concerned with what the soul says, and the soul's food is love. Masters are sometimes very open. O Lord, you are our friend. But why have you kept us far from you? We have sacrificed everything in your name. Now, without you, there is no life. What are we, in fact? We are soul. When we forget this identity, we become the body. Your residence is different, loved one, but you have tied yourself to matter. Similarly, Guru Nanak prays, you reside in the true home, and I am one with matter. It is a prayer of the soul. Imprisoned in this matter, I cannot reach you, and do not even know the path that will lead me to you. Also, as a prayer to those who have reached him, O brothers, tell him of my condition. Such desperate pleas are a sign of love for the Lord. Rain comes after the clouds form, and very far from God is he who has no tears of separation in his heart. One may be a fine lecturer, or be intellectually advanced in other ways, or a good administrator, or have many other talents, but alive is he in whom the Lord resides. O Nanak, without him, no one is alive. The fact can be explained in many different ways, but the crucial question remains, what have you become? Regard the animal with head toward the earth. O man, your head is high after all. Nature has made the animals spend all their lives with head down and their attention always towards the earth. This is not their fault, but man, with his head upright, should keep his attention aloft toward higher things. Animals fight each other with their horns, etc. When man does this, the outer form is of man, but the habits are of an animal. Paval Dasji describes man as an animal with mustache and beard. Will he remain an animal always? When will he become a true man? A man is he who is the image of love. He who lives for all mankind, only an animal lives for himself, and he who lives for the Lord will automatically live for others with a give and take attitude. If service is being performed, it should be selfless. Bringing happiness to others is really bringing happiness to oneself. Live for others and they will love you. You may have done so much worship and devotion, but if your life is not like this, then no matter to which sect or religion you belong, you are very far from home. Some people light a lamp at the bedside of a dying person. Light the lamp while you live. And what is the use when those in whom this light has been lit do not maintain it? Reformers are wanted, not of others, but of themselves. Know ye that example is better than precept? We do go on advising others to do this or do that or go to the master, but ignoring our own lives, we who do go to the Master do not practice what we receive from him. Without love, O man, there is no peace, not in this world nor in the next. How much philosophy is needed for this? It matters not if a man be literate or illiterate. This is a subject for everyone. Change your way of living. Excuse me, but our home, body, is very filthy. What can God do? He is calling, "My children, come to me." But he is alone, and he wishes us to go to him all alone. Everything, body, mind, intellect, pranas, must be left behind. Ask your heart if it really desires God. What harm is there in asking? You can take a day, 2 days, even a few more to find out what really lies in your heart. And if you do desire the Lord, you will get him. Many people desire God for business purposes. As Christ said, they have their reward. My beloved resides in each being. No place is without him. But I rejoice in that one in whom he is manifested. Wherever he is manifested is worth worshiping. We may not have actually seen him in each being, but we have read and heard the words of the Masters. But he is the very life sustainer in all life. Why then so much hatred of one another? Seeing all this, in the twilight of my life, I have turned toward the man center, Manav Kendra, which is a big revolt against all these conditions. Masters tell us to think of all mankind's caste as one. Guru Nanak said, this puppet, body, is of five elements in which the invisible is playing. You came into this body to get the everlasting elixir of life from the Guru. The purpose for which you came, that Amrit, is given by the Guru. Open your ears and listen carefully. Rise above outer garbs, or else cunning ways and ashes of repentance will follow. No fruit will be got from these. You cannot buy life everlasting with hypocrisy. If you believe in Islam, then become a true Muslim. If you believe in Sikhism, then become a true Sikh. Out of eyehood, brother is fighting brother. I am a Hindu. I am a Sikh. I am big. He is small. I am an intellectual. I am this. I am that. Brothers, become human. A true human being is full of love and compassion. What share of this humanity do you have? This is seen only by your actions and not by empty words, boasting, or intellectual prowess. Read year by year, month by month, all through life with each breath. O Nanak, mere reading alone will not give you elixir of life. When the Masters say that it is like a donkey laden with books, we can see just how much value they place on philosophies and bookish knowledge. This does not mean I am against reading. I have read a lot myself, biographies of great men, and whatever I have understood from that reading, I am placing before you. I think I have read the words of more than 300 great masters. Keep the example of even one before you, and then become whatever you aspire to. What is the difference between the masters and you? See that you make a definite decision, if not today, then tomorrow, or take a few days. When your decision is made, and you know what you want to become, then daily change and grow nearer to that achievement. You people do not want to benefit from your diaries. What is the purpose behind keeping the spiritual diary? If you keep it accurately, you will gain inner benefit. For will not that water which has no dirt give a crystal clear reflection? When the waves of the mind are legion, filled with ego and pride, there is no knowledge of Shabd, no love for the Nam. And more than 70 years of searching, after more than 70 years of searching, Guru Amar Das concluded, curse on the life in which there is no love for the Lord. If after getting the blessing of this human birth, no love for the Lord has been born in us, than shame 1,000 times upon our life. He added that even the work we do is cursed if it does nothing to help develop our love for the Lord. And then he also gives the cure for the malady. Love a Satguru, through which a love for the Lord is created. Sit beside the overflowing cup of love. You will get peace if you are receptive. But how much will you get if you are covered with many layers of dirt? This is the reason why many people gain nothing in the Master's presence. Our Hazur used to say that the calf comes from some distance, drinks the cow's milk, and leaves again. But the ticks, which are stuck to the udder of the cow and are closest to the milk, get nothing but the blood they are sucking. The Master's words are pregnant with meaning and should be properly appreciated. Those who are near the Master have a golden opportunity, but whoever makes the effort gets the gift. This is not a lecture I am giving, but a heart-to-heart talk. It is a voice from the heart. Love God. What kind of love? A love for Him whom you have seen. What must you do to see Him? Get in contact with the Beloved through the Satguru's teaching. He will give you something with which to start your spiritual work. Society makes a man, and a man is known by the company he keeps. So keep away from such a society which will do you nothing but harm. If you have got good society, it is all right. Otherwise, live alone with your spiritual practices. Even if you get nothing, continue to live alone by yourself and within yourself. For the important thing is to withdraw your attention from outer things and sit within yourself, the practice of which has already been given to you. Those who find that they do not live near a satsang group should spend the time in inner practice. Even when we but speak of the Lord, what peace we get. What prospect is there then if you have also got the contact within? We say we respect the Guru. If that was so, could we talk when sitting at his feet? What respect is there in such an attitude? Benefit is not gained like this. Truly wedded is that person who has no other remembrance but that of the Lord, with full attention. Think deeply over these words. Even now, I think we feel reluctant to leave here. This is what happens when one talks about the Lord. All is calm, quiet, and no one wants to leave. What more can be enjoyed then if we have the inner contact with Him? Make the best use of whatever time you have been given. And that concludes today's reading. The Master's words are the Master, and we thank you, beloved Master Kripal, for your fantastic teaching and words. And we ask you to help us live up to these words of yours and live the true life that you want us to live, to become Gurumukh disciples. Thank you, thank you. We love you. Amen.
Thank you, Jack, for reading for us. I wanted to remind everyone that this Friday, February 6th, is the anniversary of our Master's physical birth, and we're going to have a worldwide simultaneous meditation starting at 7 a.m. on the east coast of the United States, 6 a.m. Central Time, 5 a.m. Mountain Time Zone, and 4 o'clock in the morning on Pacific Time Zone. Well, we had 80 callers at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now, please hang up your phones.